How's everybody doing tonight? Wow, that's loud. Oh, how are y'all doing? I am tired, worn out. Tell you what, let's start off with a word of prayer, okay? Well, don't turn that off. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to hear your words tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're coming to a point on the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus has finished teaching all these things. And then he says this at the end of his teaching. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Do y'all know what it means to put them into practice? Do y'all know what that means? No? To put it into practice, that means to do what he said, to do it, okay? And you know, that's how we learn, is by doing what Jesus told us. When we do it, we learn from what he said. Now, there's something very important y'all need to know. You can't do the things that Jesus just taught us to do by yourself. You can't do it on your own. If you try to, you'll become weary and burdened. But there is a way you can do it. And Jesus told us in Matthew 11 how to do it. Okay? In verse 28, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Do y'all know what a yoke is? No? You don't know what a yoke is? I think we have a picture of a yoke. You see that? That's a yoke. And that is a device that they use to harness two animals together. Because when a load was too heavy and one couldn't pull it, they would hook two of them together. And this is what it would look like when they're hooked together. See if we can get that other picture. See, now there's two animals hooked together with a yoke. Okay? And when you have two animals like that, they can pull a bigger load than one. Okay? So when Jesus said, "Take my yoke and learn from me," the people he was talking to would have envisioned that. Where are those two animals joined at? Can y'all tell? They're joined at the neck, aren't they? Okay?
They're walking together.
That's right. They're walking together. That's exactly right. Well, so what Jesus is saying here is to take his yoke, be joined together with Jesus, and learn from him. Now, to give you an idea of what that would be like, imagine if your parents told you, "Go clean your room." And then they went in your room with you and helped you clean it. It would be easier to do what they asked you to do, wouldn't it? Because they'd be right there with you, helping you. Well, that's the picture that Jesus has given us here. He's right there with us, helping us. And when we understand that, then we can do the things that he was teaching us. Then he goes on to say, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we can do things with Jesus helping us, it is so much easier to do what he asked us to do. Okay? And then our lives and our faith will be built on a foundation that can't be shaken. And that foundation is Jesus. Okay? Let's pray and we'll go talk about just what his yoke looks like. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that teaches us how to obey you. I pray that you would help us learn. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Good evening. It filled up a little bit since when I turned my head. Some of y'all must come in kind of late. I don't care when y'all come in. Praise God that you're here, huh? I found a love greater than life itself. I hope you have. Man, I'm telling you, what a great song. What a great song. Well, we're finishing up the Sermon on the Mount in the series True Righteousness Revealed. And I hope it's been a great series for all of you guys because it gets down to the nitty-gritty tonight. You know, where you build, what are you building your foundation on? And so I've titled the message tonight, "What Are You Going to Do?" Because as Jesus wraps up his sermons, we see him getting to the bottom line of any sermon. What are you going to do with what you've just heard? We've been listening for weeks and have been challenged in many areas of our lives to make changes or just act on what we already know and believe, okay? In James 1, 22 through 25, and you have it in your notes, it says, we are told, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. That seems to be kind of a common theme lately for us, huh, in the last few verses of being deceived, you know? It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Because anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. The picture that you got a guy standing in front of a mirror, looks at the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. Now, I've done that a few times with like my keys and stuff, or get over here and like, what am I doing over here? I mean, what did I come here for? Anybody, somebody help me out. Y'all quiet here tonight. Basically, if you do that, it's just worthless. You just looked at the mirror for nothing, okay? But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. See, you look with purpose, look intently. I mean, tonight, I hope you look in the mirror, because when I look in the mirror with some intent, I'm thinking, okay, is my hair messed up? Well, there's a reason I'm looking in there. And so I'm hoping tonight, as we look into God's perfect law, his word that gives freedom. See, when Jesus comes in this sermon and all the things that he's asked us to do, they're not there to cramp our style. It's there to give us freedom to walk freely in who we are in Christ. That's why he tells us these things. God's words are beautiful, okay? But it says, and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing them will be blessed in all that he does. And so I've asked you tonight, you know, in this sermon, have you done some of the things, you know? And I ask you to evaluate yourself tonight, because we're going to go back through the sermon just a little. We're not going to do the whole sermon. I'm not going to keep y'all here all night. We're going to hit some highlights. But I tell you what, one thing I'm not asking you to do is anything that I haven't done either. This sermon has radically increased my faith. I hope it's done that for you guys, okay? Because, I mean, for me personally, I have built faith standing up here and preaching and teaching these words and listening to Butch and all the ones. I've learned so many things, and I want to just share some of it. The hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want y'all to know that I'm allowing God to stretch me just like I'm asking him to allow y'all to stretch yourself as well. Because I remember as I was preaching on that message, God woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I remember teaching this message, and it was talking about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I remember waking up at 5 o'clock and thinking, man, why am I up at 5? And the Lord just whispered in my ear, says, Alan, are you hungry? I remember that. That's a growth time for me. And I remember I got up and I spent some time with the Lord, and it was an amazing time with the Lord. And I want to tell you what, right now, God wakes me up at 5 o'clock almost every day now. When I would sleep in at 6, if I don't set the alarm, God wakes me up at 5 o'clock now, saying, Alan, are you hungry? When I want to roll over in my flesh, Alan, are you hungry? You know, and God still does that. And so that's a step of faith. And you know why I do that? Because I love Jesus. I get up. I don't get up out of anything that I'm worried about what anybody thinks. This is between me and God, okay? And that's what happens. Alan, are you hungry? And I learned a lot about keeping my word, you know, when I talked about oaths and stuff. And I've learned so much because I've actually had to call some people back and say, man, I'm sorry. I told you I was going to do this and I didn't do it, okay? And I actually changed the way I speak to some of you guys because I don't want to be a person known not for his word. Because keeping your word as a Christian is a big deal. And I've learned that thing, and I'm gonna tell you one of the greatest ones I've learned, is the prayer closet, because I remember the verse when we were teaching on it. It said, you know, if you go in your closet and your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. And I leaned on that because I was struggling with that sermon that night. I leaned on that. I went in my prayer closet and God spoke to me mightily in that closet, and I still hang out in the closet. With all the shoes, with all the stuff, with all the smells. I'm a taxidermist, so you know my shoes smell, you know. But the closet is amazing time. And if you haven't tried that, if you haven't done that, I promise you, if you'll get in your closet, it's different. There's something about it. And so now when I get worried I can't do that. I don't do that no more, right? Okay. I go to the closet. It's been an amazing time for me. And fasting. Man, I've learned a little bit about fasting. I'm still not there yet. I mean, I want to be there. That's something that I'm doing. And the treasures. and how I invest my time, my money. I have not made decisions, certain decisions with my money because of what God has done through this series. And you know why I do it? Because I love Jesus. That's it. I mean, and I'm not asking you guys, and learning about worry, and y'all know, man, worry is sin, amen? But I'm going to tell you one thing I learned about worry was that it's freed me from my schedule, man. I don't need to worry about tomorrow because today has enough trouble of its own. So I get to enjoy today now because I still find myself wondering what's going to go on tomorrow. Okay, I still worry about those things. I don't still worry about that. Come on now. Because worry is sin. See, I still have those times where I think, what's going to go on tomorrow? But the Lord reminds me of what the time that I had that, Alan, worry is sin and you need to deal with it and do not worry about tomorrow. And so I've been able to enjoy my life more because of what I've done with Christ. Okay, it's just amazing. Because I love Jesus, I don't worry about that stuff anymore. I live in today, and so it's been freeing for me. And even asking, with the mission trip coming up right now, and I told y'all I don't ask for money, but I'll tell you what, I asked for money this time, and God has provided mightily, and I get to see an amazing God. And the reason I ask because I want to glorify God in things, and I'm not asking for me. I want people. Actually, the asking some of my customers, the Lord has put it on my heart to ask some of my customers for money, and it has opened up a line of communication with them guys that I never had. We get to talk about Jesus, and they give me money. It's awesome. It's awesome, man. I got to find another cause, man. They loading the bank, man. It's awesome. God is awesome. It's not them. God is working in their heart and having them to do that. It's amazing. This sermon series has really impacted my life, and I'm building faith. Amen. And I hope that all you guys are doing it as well. I mean, not even talking about the right judgment. I've learned that I need to judge people like I want to be judged, you know? And then last week was just an amazing time for me and a worship time for me to say, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved, and I hope some of y'all won. I'm hoping we didn't preach it empty last week because that was a tough message, you know. But I'm gonna tell you what, I have allowed God to do these things in my heart, and so I pray that you will too. So in tonight's passage, we see Jesus challenge us with the type of foundation we're building our faith on, because we're all building our foundation on something. Amen. The question is, will it stand? I want y'all to look at this picture. Nice picture. That's a picture in Gilchrist, Texas, on the Point of Bolivar when Hurricane Ike hit. The house that's still standing belongs to Warren and Pam Adams. And I looked at that picture and I said, what a great picture of what we're talking about here. The storms of life came and swept everything away except that one house. And as we did a little research, they had done some extra stuff to make sure that they dug their columns deep enough down until they hit some rock. Okay, the way they built those, the things that they built that house on, I would imagine their neighbors were saying, "Are you silly? That costs too much." But look at this: after a hurricane and a storm, you've got one house that looks virtually untouched. Okay, and I'm going to tell you right now, as a child of God, on the day of judgment, you're going to look like that house. Okay. But if you build your foundation on anything other than Jesus Christ, you're going to look like the rest of that stuff, okay? But what an amazing picture. I just want y'all to keep that thought in your mind, because when it gets hard at times, okay? And so tonight, we're going to take a look back at the Sermon on the Mount and review what a real foundation looks like. But my prayer for tonight is that we will not focus on all that we need to do. Because see, you can't pull yourselves up by the bootstrap and be better. Okay, because apart from him, you can do nothing. So if your foundation isn't based on Jesus and your relationship with Jesus, you can't do anything. Okay, apart from him, you can do nothing. I hope that we will focus our direction and power on the relationship and salvation that is available for Jesus Christ. Because see, tonight is about Jesus. He's finishing this sermon, and he wants us to fall head over heels in love with him and do those works of righteousness out of love for him, not out of duty. Because he's really the only one that can make us truly righteous and give us the ability to do God's will. Amen? Because nobody's going to be able to do it on their own. Because see, that same grace that saved us, okay, that same grace that saved us is the grace that's going to sanctify us. It's the grace that's going to come alongside us and say, yes, I choose to do the right thing. Because if you build in your foundation on self-sufficiency, You're going to look like that, okay? Do not build your foundation on self-sufficiency, because in Matthew 5:20, I think this sums up even the Sermon on the Mount too. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. See, there's no way that you personally on your own can be righteous enough to make it to heaven. That's what it's saying, okay? You need Jesus. So we cannot trust on anything that we have done to get us to heaven. We must build our faith on the solid rock of Jesus, and that's it. Okay? You may say, Alan, you're narrow-minded. I'm sorry. I'm very narrow-minded. Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Okay? And so we're going to look at, let me pray real quick, and we're going to look at those scriptures tonight. Father, Lord, I bow before you. Lord, just begging you, Lord, for clarity tonight. Lord, I pray that tonight as we look at this passage, Lord, that people would evaluate their foundation. Lord, evaluate what they're building on. Evaluate their faith, Lord. Evaluate if they're even in you, God. So I just pray, God, that you would do something mighty here tonight, Lord. Any confusion, any tiredness, Lord, anything going on in here, Lord, I pray against that right now. God, I pray that people would have attentive hearts and not get worried about things that are going on around them. God, I love you, and that's why we do what we do. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Amen. Matthew 7, 24 through 29 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So we go back to the very first word of this. It says, therefore. And the reason that therefore is because it says, you remember what we just learned, that only he who does the will of the Father will enter into heaven, okay? But because of that, he says, therefore, put my words into practice, okay? Because if you do the will of the Father, you enter the kingdom of heaven. Since we have been told how to make right judgments, God has, through this series and through the last the last two or three messages, we've learned how to judge correctly. So, therefore, put my words into practice, because you know what's right. And that, therefore, could even include everything that we've learned to this point on the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? All the things. We're going to go through some of those in a little bit. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine, that word everyone ought to make everybody in here shout. Because that everyone says that everyone who puts these words into practice to build his house on the rock, everyone has salvation available to them. Okay? Everyone. I don't care who you are tonight. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. You put your faith in Jesus and you put his words into practice. You build your house on the rock. You're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't care. Everyone. Okay? Everyone who hears these words of mine. And see, and in this, at this point in the sermon, Jesus is separating himself from all the other prophets. Okay? He said, these are words of mine. Because all the other prophets, they would come and they'd say, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. This is what y'all better do, because this is what God says. But Jesus says, no, these are words of mine. He's establishing his authority, okay? And puts them into practice. Just like what we talked, be a doer of the word, obedience, faith shown by your action. Build your faith. Okay, build your faith by stepping out in faith. You don't even have faith until you make a step of faith. You can believe it all you want, but faith is an action. And you got to build the kingdom. And it says it's like a house. And when it says in like in the Bible, he's giving us a word picture. And we're going to kind of look at this little word picture. We're not going to break it down too deep, but we're going to look at what it says here. A wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. In these verses here, what are we seeing? We are seeing a test of faith. So you've got some observations. There's some similarities. You've got two builders. They're both building houses. And these houses represent our faith. We are building our faith. Okay, we're building our faith. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, your faith is your assurance, your certainty, something that you're certain about, okay? So you're putting all, like I'm certain about this chair. I'm putting my faith in this chair. But it would be silly for me to put my faith in that box of Kleenex and try to sit down on it, okay? This is the first firm foundation. I'm putting my faith in that. And see, both of these builders, their houses probably looked exactly the same, okay? But turn over to Luke 8. They look the same until they get tested, okay? Starting in verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. This is a familiar parable for a lot of us. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some seed fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants were withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell along the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And skip down to verse 11, okay? This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Remember these words of Jesus. These words of mine. And those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they will not believe and be saved. I'm going to tell you what. It's very possible that some of y'all could have listened to a whole sermon, seed scattered all around you, and you allow the devil to take the seed where it doesn't take up any root. Okay? That's very possible for some of you guys. But I think tonight we're probably more like the next verse. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word because you keep coming back for some reason. I don't know what's going on. Most of y'all. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. See, they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. See, they got a hard heart. The seed never took any root, but they believe for a while. But in the time of testing, they fall away. And see, the time of testing is to prove that you have faith. Okay, we're going to talk about the storm. We're going to talk about the testing. But the time of testing is vital for you to know what you know about Jesus Christ. Okay? And then the seed fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but they go on their way and choked out by life's worries. And look at the list of these things. Look at the things that choked out this seed. These are things all that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? They were choked out by life's worries, his riches, okay? The seed got choked out by you being rich. See, that can happen, okay? And pleasures, and they did not mature because there was too much competing for the seed that it couldn't take anything, and the heart was full of other things that it never took any heart, it never took any root. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, some really good ground for God to work. Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. See, just because they had a good heart didn't mean that they didn't go through trials, because through persevering, they produce fruit, okay? And so what I'm saying here is both of these houses look the same, but the difference is when they got tested. And so how are you standing up to the test is my question. Both of these encountered storms, because really, your faith is not real until it's tested. You can say you believe God is your provider, but until you get an opportunity to let God provide for you, you don't know whether you believe that or not. Okay? You may call God your healer, but until you get tested in a sickness and you allow God to heal you, you don't know whether you believe that or not. Okay? So don't always look at the test as a bad thing. The test can be a good thing. The test can give you confidence to know that you know God. Okay? So don't run from trials. I don't know that I want to run two trials, but don't run from them, okay? And there's some differences here. One wise and one foolish. And what made one different? The difference was determined by the choice they made, okay? What they decided to build their foundation on. But their main thing from this scripture here is that one was wise from their response to Jesus' words, okay? One did what he said, the other didn't. The wise man was the one who put Jesus' words into practice, his faith and belief solely on Jesus and the gospel. That's it, okay? The wise man puts his faith in Jesus. You make life decisions are made based on God's words, if you're wise, okay? That's what wisdom does. God's perspective in human circumstances. A lot of times you ask God for wisdom. To be wise is to do things God's way. But the foolish, these are the foolish. They're merely intellectual. They receive God with their mind, and their commitment is just that's all it is. It's just an intellectual, mental commitment. I believe God in my head, but don't think I'm going to allow Him to do anything in my life. Because you enjoy Jesus in small doses, just what you want. Okay, you get little, just enough Jesus. Okay, Jesus, that's good. I don't need no more. We're good. I got just enough to make me feel comfortable. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, that's foolish. Ain't no thing. There ain't no such thing as a part-time Christian. Okay? I promise you. It'll get you nowhere. And if you trust in yourself, you're going to fail. Every time. One built on the rock, and the other built on the sand. I mean, if you looked at the rock, you'd say, man, the rock is solid, and it withstands some weight. That's a good foundation to build on. And you know, I'm going to tell you, if you ask everybody in this room, they would say they would rather build on rock than on the sand. Everybody wants the benefit of the rock. But the reason people don't build on the rock, because the rock's hard. The rock's hard. It's hard to build on the rock. And sometimes in the sandy soil, you've got to dig deep to even find any rock. Okay? So to find some rock, sometimes you've got to dig deep. Some of us as Christians, we don't want to dig any deeper than Genesis 1 or whatever. We don't even dig in at all, okay? We got to dig deep sometime to find the rock. And I can't find the rock for you. You know, you got to dig deep. You got to get your faith. You can't experience God through what He does in my life. You got to experience God by stepping out in faith and let Him do something in your life, okay? You got to dig deep, but that's why people don't want the rock. It's hard work. And making plans. See, building on the rock means okay, have y'all seen foundations? When they build the foundations, a lot of times on the exterior, they'll dig down the beams. And anywhere in there where they think that there's going to be a heavy wall or something like that, it's called a load-bearing wall, they'll put another beam in there. And the beam goes all the way down to the rock, okay? They're planning on some weight at this point. See, some of y'all just build your Christian life thinking ain't nothing ever going to happen. And when it happens, you go ballistic. Your faith is so weak when one little bitty thing happens, just a little rainstorm. Because look at it, it says the rain, when the rain fell. Some of y'all let your faith get shook just by a few little raindrops, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, there's some real storms coming, and we're going to talk about those in a minute. But man, I tell you, build your house on the rock and have a plan. Realize that there are storms going to come, okay? Plan on it. Somebody building their house on the rock, they make decisions with the future and eternity in mind, not just tomorrow and how I feel today. And the others on the sand, the sand is not stable. But the reason people build on the sand, because it's easy. Sand is some easy digging, amen? Well, there ain't no digging easy, but sand is easier. But most of the time, it's very, very shallow. And man, that's the last thing we need, to build our faith on something shallow that is not going to withstand any storm, not even a little old rainstorm. Okay? And there are going to be storms, folks. The rain falls on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. Every one of us are going to have storms. And those storms come in forms of trials and even ultimate judgment at the end of time. But the thing about it is, these storms are forecasted. And y'all watch the Weather Channel. Them crazy people, they know a hurricane's coming, and they just going to stay? How foolish is that, you know? Run. I keep pointing that like that picture's still up over there. But the storms are forecasted, so you need to plan on it. And I'm going to tell you what, life is full of storms. And so the storms really, as a Christian, should not catch you off guard. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." See, the storms are coming, and they should not catch us by surprise, especially as a Christian. Because you know who the biggest mark for the devil is, right? It's a Christian. So you're going to get storms from the devil, but then you're going to get faith, test of your faith from God. And I know that don't sound like the guy that y'all want to follow, but I'm going to tell you what, God tests your faith for your good. You need to know what you know. God does that. And the purpose of the test is to have you built up, not to tear you down. And so we see they were tested. The storms came. And they're coming, so you might as well get ready for them. One stood and the other fell. One stood and the other fell. And the reason the one stood was because the builder paid the price. See, the builder put the words of God into practice, okay? He paid the price of obedience. Constant care. It wasn't a part-time thing for him. There was constant care there. And he planned and he prepared for the storm. That's what the one that stood did. The other fell, and the reason it fell is because he compromised. And anytime you compromise as a Christian, you are doomed for failure. We're going to talk about some of those when we get into the Sermon on the Mount just a little bit. But anytime you let any little sin come into your life, you let that stuff in and you let it just stay there, you are compromising your faith. And you're building it on some sand. And another reason it fell, because another reason people compromise, because it costs too much. Amen. Because, man, tell me the truth. Have you ever just asked yourself, is this really worth it? Okay? I'm ashamed to say that, but I've said that, okay? But the answer to that every time has been yes, okay? I'm weak just like you guys are, but there's times where, is this really worth it? But I'm going to tell you what, when I ask myself and I get to say yes, I'm like, I have faith. Praise God, you know? And so it is worth it. So don't compromise. So they both build in faith. The only difference was the foundation. So I'm going to ask you here tonight, what foundation have you laid? Or are you laying? What are you building your faith on? I mean, are you building it on the solid rock of Jesus? Are you building it on your self-sufficiency? And even, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you another sandy soil that you can build on is what others say. You know what I mean? Teachers and the false teachers, that's their whole goal, is to have you build a house that's going to fall in the day of judgment. That's what false teachers are there for, okay? So there's people, maybe your friends, maybe a Christian, maybe even a pastor you know, telling you things that are going to lead you to destruction when it comes down to it, okay? So you got to be careful who you listen to and what you allow to come into your head. Because others, if you build your foundation on what other people say and you don't have a faith of your own, you are in danger. Because the bottom line is, the true foundation has already been laid. We'll put the verses up there. Isaiah 28:16 says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. And y'all know what that means, right? The sovereign Lord. That's the one who knows everything. He's the one who built this place. He came up with everything. He's sovereign. He knows what's going to happen. He knows everything about everything. This is the sovereign Lord that started this thing, not you or me. The sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, and that stone is Jesus Christ, right? A tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. I promise you with everything I know that if you trust in Jesus Christ tonight, if you put all your faith on the foundation of Jesus Christ, you will see heaven, okay? 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, and that's Jesus Christ. And we have been so blessed to see to experience this Sermon on the Mount, because it's given us a solid foundation to build our faith on. I'm going to tell you, so we're going to go through some of these. God, really, you can go through this sermon and see God's desire for our lives. But see, our part is to be the doers of this. If we just listen to this sermon, if we go through this series, and we walk out of here unchanged, we are like the man who looked at his face in the mirror and just walked away and forgot. And not only that, you're doomed for destruction, I promise you. So will you stand up to the inspection? So let's look through Matthew chapter 5, and we're just going to flip through there. Y'all can flip through there if y'all want. I'm just going to pick out some things. And these are faith builders, because that's what I want. Man, my desire when we leave here tonight is everybody have their faith so strong that they know they're ready to storm the gates of hell with their spit, like Butch says. You know, I want somebody very, very confident when they leave here, these faith builders, okay? So ask yourself some of these questions. And this would be a great time for you to even get right with the Lord as well, okay? This is something you can build your faith on. The poor in spirit. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. See, the poor in spirit is somebody who is broken and humble and they have no will of their own. See, you give up your will because you love Jesus. That's why you're poor in spirit. You're not poor in spirit just because you conjure that up. You're poor in spirit because you say, God, not my will, but your will, because I love you. That's why I'm poor in spirit. And those who mourn, and as we studied that, we talked about sin and how those who mourn over their sin. See, if you mourn over your sin, that means you deal with your sin decisively because you love Jesus. You don't deal with your sin just because you don't want Sherman to see you or you don't want Roger to see you. You don't deal with your sin because what somebody else thinks. You deal with your sin because you love Jesus and you don't want your relationship to be messed up. That's why I deal with sin. I don't know about you. It's between me and Jesus. You deal with your sin decisively. And the Bible says, in that same passage, it says, be perfect. I'm thinking, what kind of God would give you something like to be perfect when he knows you can't be perfect? The kind of God that wants you to run to him for help, okay? But when I looked at that and I think of that be perfect, to me that says, don't let sin stay. See, it's not that I can't, I know that I'm going to sin, okay? I know that I'm going to sin. I don't want to, but I'm going to tell you what, when sin hits me, I'm not going to let it stay. I'm going to be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect as he reveals it to me, okay? That's our job as Christians to keep that slate clean. And you can only do that by the grace of God. No cracks. I'm just telling y'all, no cracks. And I learned this deal on the foundation. We got a sunken living room at our house. And we got clay soil. And you know how much it's rained in the land, okay? It's like holding that thing underwater. And we came in one day and that thing had water all, not all in it, in there. But, you know, the thing, and it hadn't leaked since then, because, but it was when we had this all this rain. But here, but God showed me something through that. There is one little bitty crack in there somewhere that I can't even find. But when the flood comes and it stays for a while, I don't have to find it. It finds me, you know? And I'm going to tell you, that's what's going to happen even with the littlest sin in your life. I'm going to tell you that. So you need to take care of those things in your mind. The Bible says to take captive every thought and bring it to obedience to Christ. And I know for some of y'all, I say, man, that is impossible. The reason it's impossible, because you don't have Jesus. That's why it's impossible to you. That's why you say, there is no way I can do that. Praise God. And yes, there's no way that you can do it. That's why I can't do it. Take care of those little cracks. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, man. Man, hunger and thirst for God, okay? Pure in heart, not contaminated or polluted by the world. Come on now. That's a great way to build your faith, is to be pure in heart because you love Jesus, all right? Get rid of that stuff that competes with your love for Christ. And blessed are the peacemakers, and those that represent God and his word. Man, we need to be so sold out to the Lord that we represent him because we love him, okay? And those who are persecuted because of righteousness, we endure well because Jesus is worth it. Amen? Amen? And so those kind of all deal with our attitude, right? If we get our attitude right, our altitude will be right, huh? I think I heard a black preacher say that one time, you know? And I'm going to tell you, I think I'm black on the inside. Because, man, those guys stir me up, man. I love my brothers with that passion, and I want that passion, and that passion that comes from Jesus, okay? So I'm gonna keep y'all going. All right. But not only do we build our faith on our attitude, but we were called to be salt and light. See, you build your faith by having a purpose and recognizing that you're made for a reason. There's a purpose that God made you to be on this earth, okay? And as a Christian, we learn in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to be salt and light, okay? And so when I apply salt to people's life and it stings, you know, I'm doing that because I love Jesus. I love them and I love Jesus. And when I'm light, when I'm shining light, I'm doing that because I love Jesus. I'm building my faith, okay? But there's a purpose because I'm being what God created me to be, the faith builder. And so I ask you, have you allowed Jesus' word and his desire for true righteousness to change you? See, that's another thing, okay? If you're not, you can't accept Jesus and stay the same. Okay? You can't do that. It's impossible. You have to change. The Bible says you're a new creation. So if you've got the intellectual knowledge, you made a few little changes, but you're really not changed, you're not there, brother. I promise you. You're not there because of change. There's a sister out there sitting right now, Katie. I'm going to tell you what. I didn't know her before, but talking to some of the people who did, she is a new creation, you know? And y'all going to get a chance to hear from her at some point when we baptize that girl, and it's going to be something else, I believe, you know. Because, man, I'm not going to steal none of her thunder, but I'm going to tell you what, she is a blessing to me because of what God's done in her life. She's been reading the Word, and she's been reading the Word like it's water to a thirsty person. She's hungry and thirsting for righteousness, you know. It's a challenge to me, but I'm going to tell you what, when you really get saved, things change, right, Katie? Amen, you're a new creation, and God's powerful. So have you allowed God to change you in the areas of anger? See, these are the ones that we address. Anger, lust, divorce, keeping your word, retaliation. How about this one? Have you allowed God to change you in loving your enemies? I'm going to tell you what, one of the greatest faith builders you can do is forgive somebody. That will build your faith quicker than anything because that lets you know what, that was God because there ain't no way I would have ever done that. And for many of us, our faith has been tested in these areas, in that anger and lust and all these things that are hard for us. And for some of us, I mean, because Jesus' words were pretty extreme. That even if you look on a woman with lust, it's like you committed adultery with her, okay? If you're angry with your brother, it's equal to murder, okay? These are some things you think, man, that is too radical. If that's too radical, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know what to tell you because these are the words of my Christ, and I can't water them down for you, okay? What we need is radical, like them house builders. If this walk of faith is too radical for you, I mean, you really got a problem. Because you see Jesus say, you have heard that it was said, but I say. See, Jesus said, what Jesus says trumps anything you say or anybody else say. We got to be really careful listening to others. And so the fact that Jesus says, but I tell you, what kind of authority does that come with you, okay? Is it just some words coming out of a man's mouth? And I'm going to tell you, I hope the fact that God's word is being proclaimed through a bivocational taxidermist does not limit the fact that you allow God to speak to you through these words, because these are not my words, these are God's words. That's why we got different speakers and stuff. I mean, we here at Living Hope, I mean, we've got different teachers. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God is what we're trying to proclaim, okay? We don't want you to focus on the vessel. We don't want you to focus on anything. We want you to focus on God's Word. And what authority does that have you? Have you examined your heart? And see, not only do you make some changes, Jesus said you need to even examine your heart. Why you even made the changes, okay? Have you examined your heart to check your motives behind your acts of righteousness? In the areas of giving to the needy. I mean, do you give because other people, you want people to know? Do you pray because you want other people to know? Do you fast because you want other people to know? And I'm going to tell you what, some of y'all probably, and I don't think I'm stepping on too big of a limb, probably even though the Bible clearly says when you fast, I bet there's people in here ain't never even fasted. I'm not saying if you fast, you go to heaven. I'm just telling you, there's some stuff in here about fast. It says when you fast, there's something that Jesus said about fasting that is valuable to you, and for you to totally reject it is to say, Jesus, I'm good. I'm good with that, okay? True righteousness. You have a shallow foundation sometimes, you know? Have you allowed Jesus' words to challenge you of your sins of materialism, greed, and love for money? 1 Timothy 6, 7, 17 through 19, I'll read that for you. It says, command those who are rich in this present world to be not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, be good be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for this coming age. See, so when you lay up treasures in heaven, see, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. If you're putting your faith in your money, you're not really living. Okay? I'm telling you that. Okay? And you say, well, that doesn't apply to me, Alan. I'm poor. Some of y'all might think you're poor, and some of y'all might be just flat out poor. You know? You know? But here's the thing. In the United States of America, every one of us, this verse applies. We're all rich. Okay? We're all rich. And so if we don't invest in the kingdom, I mean, if we invest in the kingdom, what we invest will stand. We'll get a return. Amen? But if the only thing we invest in is this world, it's not gonna stand for nothing. It's going to be burned up because it's going to be tested with fire. Okay? Your big flat screen TV you got now is gone. Ain't going to be no flat screens in TV in heaven. Okay? I don't think so. No, better not be. And worry is still sin. Okay? I don't even have to go and worry anymore. Worry is still sin. Amen? Okay. Chapter 7, we learn, are you submitting yourself to God in the area of right judgment? Okay? Do you judge yourself by the same standards you're judging others? Okay? We learned how to judge. We always put God's word when always allowing His word to judge us first and then others. Amen? And then we learn, and I'm going to ask you how you're doing on this, and persistent prayer for God's will to even make the right judgment. See, that's what we had to learn. We had to ask, seek, and knock. God, what is your judgment? And some of us need to pray before we even go to somebody else. See, this attitude of prayer, ask, seek, and knock for everything, especially in the area in judgment and making a judgment about somebody. We've got to pray before we judge. But we really need to pray before we do anything. Amen? And so what road are you on? That's a question that we were asked. You know, David preached on the wide road and the narrow road. So what road are you on? Did you make that decision that night? What road? Or did you conveniently miss that powerful message? Okay? That's why I don't want nobody to miss out. Because you need to know what road you're on, because wide is the road of destruction. And it's easy, just like that sand. Could you possibly be the product of a false teaching? Ask yourself that. Build your faith. Say, God, show me. Because here's the thing I know about my God. He does not want you confused about false teaching, okay? That's why He gives us His word, and that's why He gives us the Spirit, especially the believers, okay? And are you sure of your salvation? And if you say yes, what are you basing that on? These are faith tests. We're building our faith. Like I said last week, when we leave here, we should know that we're a Christian, okay? And I hope everybody, it was a praise time last week. Because here's the thing. All these things and these questions I'm asking you, these are not my words. Jesus calls them these words of mine. And sometimes they're a hard word. And I'll tell you, we're going to do it. We're going to do a series in Psalm. And we're going to learn about how good our God is. And God is a good God. But I'm going to tell you right now, God really wants you to know that He loves you. But you got to put His words into practice. These words of mine. And you think, man, those are hard words. But I'm going to tell you what, it is a blessing to hear God's words. Amen? It's a blessing when God rebukes me. It's a blessing when God encourages me. It's a blessing in Matthew 13:16-17. He said, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. See, the old school prophets, Old Testament prophets, they didn't get to hear the words of Jesus. These people are blessed. They get to hear the word of Jesus. We're doubly blessed. We got the Holy Spirit inside of us. Amen? Man, come on. I'm not quitting until I get a big amen out of that, all right? Amen. Because we got the Holy Spirit inside of us. God gets to speak to us personally every day, every minute of the day. We got access to a Holy Father that knows everything. We got access to that kind of God. Amen, huh? It's a blessing to hear the Word of God. And when Jesus finished saying these things, and we're finishing in Matthew, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of the teachers of the law. See, when he finished, these crowds were amazed at his teaching. You know, there's been some good sermons up here. Butch has preached some, Dave's preached some, I've preached some, Fernando's preached. I mean, y'all heard some good sermons in this thing, okay? I wouldn't exactly think y'all are probably amazed at our teaching. But you see here that even though they were amazed at Jesus' teaching, you really don't see a whole lot of evidence that they accepted his teaching. See, it doesn't matter how much you like the sermon. It doesn't matter how amazed you were at the music. It doesn't matter what's going on. If you don't put these words into practice, they're just knowledge, okay? Because he taught as one with authority. And that word authority is a person who has the right to exercise power. And when Jesus Christ spilt his blood for me and you, when I accepted that as my only way to get to heaven, I gave him the right to speak into my life. I gave him the authority to say things like this, and I say, yes, sir. Instead of, I don't know about that, Jesus, we'll try that next week. You know? I gave him the authority to do that. And so I want to ask you the question now, have you settled the issue of authority? Does Jesus have the right to speak in your life and tell you to do anything, and you'll say, yes, sir? Because the thing about it is, he has it, even if you don't acknowledge it, okay? He's got the authority. God gave it to him. You didn't, okay? But the bottom line is when it comes down to judgment, and when it comes down to having that eternal life, that life that where you have the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the faithfulness, the goodness, the gentleness, and self-control, to have that kind of life, you need Jesus Christ inside of you. So he taught with one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. See, what we see about Jesus, he was different from the religious of the day, right? And my question is, are you? So as we conclude tonight, a couple things. We give him authority because we love Jesus. Okay? I give Christ authority in my life because I love him. Amen? And Jesus is God. And if you reject the Sermon on the Mount as the standard, the foundation of true righteousness, you're rejecting God. I don't know how to put it any simpler than that. Jesus didn't go to all this trouble to preach to all these people to just say, all right, that's a good story. If you reject this, you're rejecting God. And I beg you, please don't reject God. John 3:36, and I'm going to close. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects, and another translation said, refuse to obey the Son, will not see life. For God's wrath remains on him. The sad reality of it is there's so many of us that we claim Jesus in our hearts and we claim him in our minds, but we have not put his words into practice. And I'm not talking about perfection here, people. I'm talking about letting the grace of God teach you to say no to ungodliness. Listen to the word, obey when God tells you to, and do not put up walls. Because here's the thing. Your eternity is what's at stake here. Okay? And so I beg you. If I could make you respond to the Lord, I would. But I can't make you no more than he can. So it's open to everyone, okay? This relationship with the Lord, it's open to anybody who will confess their sins and ask God and Jesus to take over their life and take his blood as their only way to get to heaven. It's available to you. So tonight, we're going to just close with a time of prayer, and I'll be up here to pray. If anybody, if anybody just wants to just come, and I will pray with you, and if you're struggling or whatever, we got deacons here. We've got Sherman and Barney and just different ones. We got some deacons here that will pray for you. But man, if you want to come forward, we're going to have a time of prayer, and I'd love to pray with you, but let's close. Father,
I just praise you for these people. God, I really do believe in my heart that most of the people in here really do want to please you. God, and sometimes we don't even know how. And so, God, for those people, I ask for you to just draw them tonight for help. God, to have the body come around and pray for them, whatever, God, because we need each other. We've said that so many times in this church. But for those people out there tonight, Lord, that have just listened and listened and listened and continue to reject you, God, would you please wear them out through this invitation time? God, and I'm not talking about in a way that'll heap condemnation on them. I'm talking about a way so they can see your love, Lord. And so that when the day of destruction comes, like Hurricane Ike, they'll be that house out on that prairie when everything else is devastated. They'll be standing tall for you. And God, I just praise you for this sermon. God, I praise you for the things that you've done through that in my own life. And Lord, I pray that you'll be a blessing to everyone else. We're going to, tonight, we're going to close out. We've got people next week starting leaving on Friday. I know the group from Haiti leaves on Friday. And then the next week after that spring break, I don't know, when does Nicaragua leave? Do y'all know? I don't know. Anybody going? Okay. All right. Anyway, this coming up, we're fine. But next week, there'll be people on mission trips. And so what I want to do, if you're going on any mission trip, whether you're staying here, Brian Bible Clamp, on spring break, if you're volunteering for the mission stuff this time of spring break, I'd like for you to stand, okay? Because what we're going to do, we're going to have like a commissioning prayer, and we're going to end with that. Once Sherman, and I know y'all don't want to stand to show how good you are, but I'm just telling you, some of us are going, and every one of us are going in areas where it's the devil's ground, okay? And so we need that prayer protection. We need to know that we're being sent out. And so we're going to ask Sherman. I've asked Sherman to pray over us. And once he's done, we're done, okay?
Father, thank you for the many opportunities that you've given us to serve you on mission. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to go to Haiti, how quickly that came together. Just pray that you would bless that trip, Father. For Nicaragua and the work that you have been doing through Living Hope and through Lauren and Karen Dickey down there. God, for the Edinburgh and the Bryan Bible camps. And Father, would you please pour your spirit out on all of those. God, I know that some of us will see some very poor people, Father. I pray that we would be impacted by their poverty, Father, to help them. But God, that our ultimate goal, not neglecting those things, but Father, our ultimate goal would be that they see and know Jesus. Father, I pray for salvations to come through the work that you're doing in each one of our lives. And I pray that you would change each one of our hearts as we do these things and make us advocates for you in the area that you've so touched our lives. So God, I pray that by your spirit we would go out with power and preach the gospel with boldness, and that we would do all these things to the glory of you, God, and to the recognition of Jesus throughout the earth. Father, thank you for your spirit already giving it to us, Father. I thank you for that, God. I pray that you would impact us this week, even as those who are not going to these specific, Father, that they would pray, Father. Pray that that we would be a people who pray and not say that we're going to pray and then not pray, Father. I pray right now, God, for myself and for everyone here, that we would pray, fast, and seek your face. But God, I pray that you would see many salvations come in the coming week. We praise you, God. And we love you, and you get all the glory for whatever happens. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.